You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Going Where You Haven't Gone Before.
Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want to read that from, I believe, the Message translation as we continue with. I may not finish it, but this is at least the last part of it. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, the Message translation reads this way. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. We talked about that last week. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. And that's the verse, that's verse 10, Hebrews 11, 10, traditional King James says, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we're continuing to talk about under the general topic, going where you haven't gone before. And I specifically want to entitle this lesson tonight, This Ain't It. Look, somebody say, This Ain't It. I've discovered something. You know, when you live this life of faith, when you take this faith journey and God's leading you to go places and do things, many times you don't always have a crystal clear image of what your harvest is going to be. You don't have a crystal clear image of all the details of your life, all the details of that business, all the details of everything that your marriage is going to do and where you're going to go and whatever. And you may not have a crystal clear image to this point of that type of specificity. However, even when you don't know exactly what it is, you got to know what it ain't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Some of y'all keep your eyes straight ahead. We won't know it's you. Okay. And some of you, you're in it right now. You dating somebody. You keep looking for something to change and they talking good and they look good and they may even be cute. You know, however you like them. They light skinned with waves or they dark skinned with naps, whichever you prefer. Different people like different stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know? And you know, brothers, you know, I mean, the lips may look good, the hips may look good, and but something, just say, this ain't it. You know, sometimes you realize you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Something just, this sounds good. Everybody else from the outside is telling you this is it. This is the job. This is the person. This is the place. This is what you're supposed to be doing. But down on the inside, you know this isn't it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you can't always explain it, but it's based upon the fact that there's this image on the inside of you, and there's this dream, there's this vision that God has given you, and you can see this is not lining up with what God showed me. I can't tell you exactly what it is and what is it going to look like, but I know this ain't it. And so this text, as we've been studying over the last 6-7 weeks now, of Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, is an account of Abraham's life of faith summarized in 3 verses. 25-30 years of life, because God called when he was 75. 25 or 30 years of life summarized in three verses. Talking about how he stepped out on faith, went to a place that he didn't know where he was going. Lived in tents, and also the same promise was given to Isaac and to Jacob. Then we come down to this verse 10 here. He did it by keeping his eyes on an unseen city with real eternal foundation, the city designed, built by God. Look, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, the city, you know, so in order for this to apply to us, you know, we're not just driving around looking for a city that God tells us we're supposed to live in. But every now and then meet people, and I say, now, in my case, you know, God used a job to get me here. He spoke to me to come, but he used a job. And so I'll say something. They said, no, the Lord just told me, Columbia, South Carolina. You know, that's just awesome. You know, the Lord just spoke to me and said, thou shall go to Columbia, my son. Okay? But most of us, we're not looking for a physical place. A destination. We, you know, there's usually, we have reasons to go places. And so we're not talking about a physical place. This city that he went looking for represents your life. It represents your vision. This city that he looked for, that had foundations, represents the dream that only God can bring to pass in your life. It's a life. It's a type of life. It's a status in life. It's purpose. It's fulfillment that God is bringing you to, taking you to, leading you to, and showing you that you realize God got to do it. So this city represents your life, your vision, your dream that only God can bring to pass. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody here got a vision that you know you can't make this thing happen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And, you know, I recently went to inquire about something in terms of potential for the future. And when I looked at it, you know, the whole situation looks so overwhelming. And I just said a little simple prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, if this is your will, I thank you that you provide all the resources and you get the money if we're supposed to pursue that. And go on about my business. Because I know I can't make it happen. So when you live this life of faith, you have to know that God is leading you to a city, to a lifestyle, a status in life, a dream, a vision that only he can bring to pass. Because faith doesn't settle for what you can do. Faith requires God to do it. Let me say it again. Faith does not refuses to settle for what you can do. Faith requires God. Whatever dream, whatever vision that God has given you is going to require him. Now, you need to understand, this is different than natural giftings. Because you need to understand, there are people who have natural giftings and natural ability who don't even acknowledge God. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there are people who literally sing songs of worship to the Lord. There are people who sing for the Lord, acknowledge the Lord, and sing about Jesus. And there's some people who can, watch it, who can out-sing people in the church who are not even acknowledging the Lord, who are just naturally gifted. And I'm not talking about doing something because you're naturally gifted. I'm talking about doing something because God's anointed you and leading you step by step. And your gift is not alone enough to open up doors. It's moment to moment, from favor to favor and encounter to encounter. And do y'all realize that's how Abraham became rich? God told Abraham, I will make you rich. I will bless you. When his servant Eliezer, when he goes to find a wife for Isaac, he says, the Lord has made my master great. And he has houses and lands and cattle and everything that he had. He's given it to Isaac. And if you study this little incidents that we don't really pay attention to, but if you study the life of Abraham, he goes down into Egypt. And the king starts messing with his wife. And because the king messes with his wife, God said, you're a dead man if you touch that woman. He said, Lord, he told me that that was his sister. I'm an innocent man. Lord said, all right, you just. And so then he tells Abraham, listen, you leave. You leave, and I want you to get to heaven out of here. Okay? I want you to leave and take your wife, your sister, your wife, take her with you. And by the way, take some oxen and take some sheep and some lamb. And he goes out of Egypt richer than he came in. Through what looks like an incidental, coincidental circumstance. Another time, his nephew Lot, who goes down to live in the Sodom and Gomorrah, and he goes down in that area, and then there's kings who conquered him and took Lot and took his family, and Abraham got 300 men who were raised and trained in his own house, and he went and he was going to get Lot, but when he went to get Lot, his nephew, his relative, he also got spoils of war, and he comes out from the slaughter of the kings with all this stuff, gold and silver and livestock. But he was just going, oh, y'all know, I'm not sure y'all catching it. He was just going to get his son. But in pursuing that, God started making him rich. Are y'all with me here? And then he meets this man named Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek spoke a blessing over him. Now watch this. God had already spoken it when he called him. But Melchizedek reaffirms it by Melchizedek speaking the word over him. See that is my role as your pastor. That's my role as your man of God, to speak a word that empowers your life. Come on. Ideally, you already know what God, but when you get in this atmosphere and when you hear the word, it's empowered. It's seconded. It's confirmed that God's going to bless me, that God's going to increase me, that God's going to heal me, that God's going to deliver me, that God's going to bring me out. And watch this. And because Melchizedek spoke a blessing over him, Abraham gave him tithes of all, which further propelled him to destiny. And see, so the life that God's going to give you, let me help you understand, you can't plan this out. You don't plan this out, young people, by getting the right degree. You don't plan this out by finding out, according to U.S. News and World Report or Money Magazine, what are the top cities to live in now, or what are the top 10 highest paying fields to get into. No, the life that God has. See, that's natural stuff. Come on now. If you can look in a magazine and get it and not in the Word and get it, come on, that ain't God. I'm talking about stuff that you got to get from the Word of God. And the Word of God comes in two forms. What are they? Rhema. The Rhema, which is what he speaks to you, and the Logos, what's written. And so God wants the life that he has for you to be based on the Word. I'm doing this because God told me to do this. Okay, the Lord told me to marry my wife, told me this was my, and it didn't make sense to anybody. This old Catholic girl who just got saved, how she, you've been called, you've been preaching, you've been in church since you're a little boy, and this girl just came out and said from Catholic, Pastor and Mother Betty called her, she's a Delilah. That's what she's just going to try and take all your strength. Look, every now and then I think about that when I'm taking these vitamins. Mother Bailey says she's going to take all your strength. Anyway, and people, but God did that. Okay? Us moving to Tulsa, Oklahoma, it didn't make any sense. Okay, because in my mind, I'm supposed to go back to New Jersey, but I know the Lord told us to go to Tulsa, and I go to Tulsa, and it was through in Tulsa that God enlarged our vision, because we got exposure up close to mega ministry. We got exposure to really see what this looks like, what it feels like to get examples of excellence, to see an example of what happens when people obey God. And it was step by step. So he went looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, not settling on what you can produce in your own ingenuity. Not settling for what you can do if you can network and work a room. Y'all ain't hearing me here. Glory to God. Remember, Pastor Trey, years ago, he told me, somebody told him that you need to become, I don't know, a mason, right? Somebody, because if you're going to do business, it's good to have these kind of contacts. And I don't know, at one point, I don't know if he was maybe thinking about it until he brought up that to me. I said, listen, I said, well, God going to do with you. You know, the masons can't get credit for it. Come on now. Our fraternity can't get credit for it. See, because if you can just plan it like that, then that's a formula. Faith is not a formula. Faith is step-by-step obedience. It's not a formula. It's step-by-step obedience. It's moment-by-moment obedience. Whether it's an act of sowing or an act of talking to somebody or an act of going to look at something. You know, I was up early this morning praying about something and I wasn't. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, just go talk to them about it. He said, well, when you go talk to them about it, it'll get settled. And, you know, I hadn't done that yet. And I'm sitting here trying to figure that. The Lord said, just go. So the next act of obedience is to go talk. Not to plan. Go talk. That's how you get to this city who's building, making step-by-step obedience. Sometimes when the city, he went looking for a city who's building and making God. Sometimes when the city that God wants to take you to looks too far or takes too long, it seems easier to settle for another city and accept less than God's best. Wow, that's... when that going to happen? I know the Lord told me I'm supposed to wait for a saved man, but I've been saved a while now. I don't see no saved men coming in the right direction. None of the saved men, well, maybe what God means is that he saved this one for me. And when I get with him, I'll get him saved. Don't y'all look at me crazy now. Because it looked like the city that God has shown you is too far away. Taking too long to get there. See, because you can settle for good and it still not be God. I made him in my mind, I don't want good, I want God. You can naturally get good. I want God. I want a life. I want a city whose builder and maker is God. Somebody say, I want God. Look at Numbers 32. Because in Numbers 32, we read about two tribes of Israel who did exactly that. Okay? Numbers 32, 1 through 5. It says, now the children of Reuben, let me set it up for you. This is before they get to the promised land. This is while they're still in the wilderness. However, they're no longer in Egypt. They're no longer slaves. So Pharaoh's no longer pursuing them because Pharaoh and his army have been drowned in the Red Sea. So the enemy's not pursuing them anymore. They also had a couple other battles that God just grace them and enable them to defeat these people. So it looked like things are settling down good. They're not yet in the promised land. They're not in the place of Kesbarnea where the 12 spies had originally gone. They have not crossed the other Jordan yet, but things are okay. We're in the middle. I ain't poor, but I ain't rich enough to bless nobody, but my bills are paid. And this is okay because I'm out of the fire. I'm out into my wealthy place, but I'm in the water and I can swim. I can doggy paddle a little bit, so I can make it. Look at Numbers 32, 1 through 5. Now, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes or the leaders of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazar and Nimrah and Hesbon and Eliah and Shebam and Nebo and Beon. Do y'all know them? Okay, I thought maybe they was your cousins or something. Verse 4, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel. He said, God defeated some enemies and we're in this land now. This is a land for cattle and your servants have cattle. You get it, Moses? It's a place for cattle. Guess what? We got cattle. This is a place, You seen our cattle? They're grazing real good here. Look like they're multiplying good. And this is a nice place. Verse 5. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in your sight, if we found favor with you, then please let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. I know God said we're supposed to go to a land that flows with milk and honey. I know God said he's going to give us houses we didn't have to build, and we're going to fill it with all good things that we didn't have to buy. And I know the Lord told us we're going to eat without scarceness, and there's going to be brooks and valleys, and that's fine for those who want that. We're not in Egypt anymore, and this is good enough for us. It's only one problem. It was good, but it wasn't God. I can assure you that no matter how good things were in the land now, in the land of Jizar and the land of Gilead, it did not measure up to what God had promised. It can be good and not be God. They were settling. And so Moses, the Bible said, Moses got wroth with them. Moses was upset. Moses said, I can't believe y'all. You want to stay here while we go and fight the enemy, and y'all just stay here? And then to me, it went from bad to worse. They said, no, Moses, no, we ain't going to do it. I tell you what, we'll go over there. We'll help you fight the enemy and get your land. But then after all, y'all get your stuff, we'll come back across the Jordan, and we'll just stay right here, which is even stupider there. Okay? It's even less why. Because if I'm going to fight for it, come on now, I want my spoils. So you're going to help us fight, and you're not going to get any spoils? And so they were settling, and it seems okay, but they were settling for a place for cattle. But it wasn't a land that flowed with milk and honey. That's a place good for cattle. It wasn't a place where they're going to be filled with all good things. It was just cattle. See, sometimes we can limit what God has for us. Because this is good, but it's not God. This is okay, but it's not God's best. This is sufficient for you, but it's not all God has for you. But to get all God has for you, to get God's best, it's going to require some more faith. It may require some waiting. It may require you passing up some opportunities. Can I talk a moment about passing up opportunities? Know when you really know you're in faith, when you pass up opportunities. You know you're in faith when you pass up opportunities, because it's not what God showed you. Glory to God. Man, I look back over my life, and I get to tell you, I was flattered. And nobody could understand on my mother's side of the family. That's on Dottie and Nana, my grandmother. And people knew me. They couldn't understand. You have an opportunity to be the pastor of an historic church. Put your name in the hat. Reverend Wright, who was your pastor as a child, he's been there for 50 years. He's gone on to be with the Lord. You are the only minister that has come up out of that church. And at first I was flat. I said, I even tell Pastor Marcy, I said, you know, they want me to consider me, get back to them. But I knew this ain't it. Sounds good. Look like it could be easier. But I was flat, but I knew this wasn't it. I had job offers, okay, when I heard God. And at first I thought it was it. I had job offers, getting ready to go back to New Jersey, okay. At one point I had two companies bidding for me. I had a computer science corporation over there. Pastor Marcy, she often talked when we passed by that place. You see it off 77 CSC. I had an offer to come work for them in New Jersey years ago. And Pastor Marcy said, who knows? Maybe the Lord would use them to get you down here. And then between them and another insurance company that was known as Hanover. And both of them, they both wanted me. And that was a bidding war. Give me a go back. But I knew that wasn't it. And so as I looked back over my life, I realized there were times I had to turn opportunities down because I knew this wasn't it. This isn't what God has shown me. It looks like other people, if I was just looking, trying to build my own life, this might work. But I'm looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, not me. Oh, y'all are hearing me here.
God wants to take you places where you've never gone before, but it's going to take faith. You have to maintain your faith at all times and in all situations along the way. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that on the way to your destination, you may have to face some temporary places and circumstances. But get ready, because God has already cleared the path for your journey. Order today for your love gift of $25 or more and get the bonus message, "Are You Down for the Journey?" by Pastor Chandler Bailey. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.